what we're looking at this morning in Psalm 119 from the Word of God. I had a friend of mine who I met in Bible college. He was the son of a dairy farmer, called to preach. Very funny man, humorous. And I remember so many things and memories, but he was also a deacon in this church. He's a great preacher, a great youth speaker, spoke all over the world, spoke in Europe. Name is Ken Rudolph. He said something that he actually got a message on this, and he calls the message spooky Christianity. And basically the substance of the message is that some Christians have to have a spooky experience, a unusual experience before they believe God is in it, before they really know that they're saved, or they really know this or that from God's word. But they need to just step out in faith and trust the Bible, trust the word of God, not some strange feeling or spooky experience. And that's the hub of my message this morning. If you look at Psalm 119, I want to look at one verse this morning. I'll read that verse. It's going to be verse number 70 of Psalm 119, verse 70. And here's the verse. It says, "Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law." Now, Brother Joe and I have been on a diet in the past where we have given up grease. Amen, Joe. And grease or oil contains huge amounts of fat. So this is a proof text, Brother Joe. "Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law." Now, what's the substance of that verse? What is the psalmist saying? He's saying, and what this verse implies, listen to me, is those that don't feast upon and then exercise obedience to what they've learned from the Bible, they have no spiritual muscles. In other words, they are spiritually lazy, fat, and sloppy. They haven't worked off the food that they have eaten, spiritually speaking. They have no spiritual appetites. The psalmist is saying that these kind of people have a spiritual body that is, as I said, sloppy, fat, and undernourished and uncared for, and has spiritually been fed the wrong things. So the Word of God says that their heart is as fat as grease. And I'm saying this morning, the Lord God of the Bible is against that kind of life, and I'm preaching a message for you this morning called "Be Done with Your Greasy Fat." Be done with your greasy fat. Now, I used to go to a pastor school in Hammond, Indiana, that had people go from all over America. In the heyday of that pastor school, it was a special, special time. The man that was the pastor that hosted that pastor school, it was nicknamed the Texas Tornado. The Texas Tornado, Dr. Jack Hiles. But he had a guy that he mentioned before, a man that was a man that had a powerful, powerful pastor school in Texas in the early 20th century. And his name was Dr. J. Frank Norris. He pastored a great church there in Texas, and many preachers would come to that pastor school to learn principles of how to have a ministry that would reach people and change lives. One evening, he made this statement to all the assembled preachers. He said, and I can relate to this being at a pastor school. He said, "Tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. Now, by the way, when he said tomorrow morning at 6 a.m., you have to understand, most preachers don't even know that the sun rises gradually in the morning. I hope you know that. And he said, "Tomorrow morning at 6 a.m., I'm going to have a meeting to show all of you preachers how to study for 5 minutes and prepare a one-hour sermon jam-packed with spiritual food." Well, If you know anything about preachers, they thought, this is fantastic. Here's a man that's our mentor, successful ministry. He's going to tell us how to prepare for 5 minutes and have a one-hour sermon jam-packed with spiritual food. So between 10 p.m. that night and 6 a.m., not only did those preachers plan to show up at 6 a.m., but they got a hold of their friends who weren't there and told them, you got to come. This is what the subject is. And so those guys started on the road and drove there. And the place was packed out at 6 a.m. The place was packed out with these preachers. How to, 5 minutes prepare, preach a one-hour message that will really bless people. Well, J. Frank Norris got up, and you have to understand who J. Frank Norris is to understand this. He said, you bunch of lazy devils. He said, I'll tell you how to study for 5 minutes and prepare an hour sermon. He said, first, you must study the Bible for 40 years like I have been doing and put into your reading and study and meditation all of the blood, sweat, and tears that you can for 40 years of preparation and preaching. And then you'll come to the point where in 5 minutes you could prepare a sermon and preach it full of spiritual truth for 1 hour. Of course, that's not what they wanted to hear. I've been studying the Bible for over 50 years. And I have put blood, sweat, and tears into the study of the Bible. And I found out there are no shortcuts to understanding God's Word. And that preachers today need to be in the Bible so that when they preach, it comes out. There's Scripture. It's filled with Scripture in principle, example, and text. And, I had a preacher that I told my brother years ago, I said to my brother, I heard this preacher preach up at the Bible college that I went to, and his church is in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I said, this guy teaches the Bible. He's a great preacher. You need to go to that church. And my brother did. He became a member of that church, and he was blessed. And this preacher's name was Dr. John White. And John White was the pastor of the great Calvary Baptist Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And I remember John White was in an assembled group of people, and he had a wonderful ministry there with a lot of people getting saved and lives being changed. And somebody asked him the question, Dr. White, what is the key or keys to such a successful church ministry as you have? He said, I can answer that question. I'm going to give you three things. He said, number one, work. He said, number two, work. And number three, work. You see, he was talking about the true key to success in life. And Dr. R.G. Lee, the great orator, the great preacher that a lot of people think built his great church from preaching and oratory. But it's not so. I went with Dr. Jack Hiles, and he told the preachers, he said, listen, he said, the great churches in America are not built by great preachers, great speakers. I mean, they may be great speakers, Dr. Lee was, but that's not what built the church. What built the church was what Dr. Lee said. Here's what he said. The harder I work, the luckier I get. The harder I work, the luckier I get. Can I say something this morning? The sluggard never accomplishes anything in life. So I'm going to say along with the psalmist here, greasy fat never gets anything done. Down with greasy fat and up with diligently hearing and studying God's word and working harder than the next person to put the Bible into practice in your life and in the ministry that God has given you. I'm saying today, whatever you're trying to build, if it's a hot dog stand or a church, it's done by work. Just plain, old-fashioned, hard work. So let me in this sermon this morning, if I could do one thing this morning, let me persuade you to decide for yourself to be done with your greasy fat and to be up with hard work to replace it. I would like to say this sermon is a one-point message. A one-point sermon. Not 3 points in a poem. 1 point. And it is, success in your life comes not by greasy fat built up around your heart, but by hard work and diligence. The Bible says their heart is as fat as grease. But I delight in thy law, or in putting into practice the word of God. You know, I've had people say to me, you know, you have the gift of an evangelist. And I don't. And they say that because they see people getting saved through this church. They see people getting baptized. They see lives being changed. They say, you have the gift of an evangelist. Look at all those people in your church. They say, there's no other church in the Scranton area that I can find that is seeing what's happening like at Scranton Revival Baptist Church. Well, I want to tell you, I do not have the gift of an evangelist. I can say this, for many years though, we have done the work of an evangelist. And that is to spend hours knocking on new doors, asking people spiritual questions, and giving them the good news about the Lord Jesus Christ, who promises to save anyone who will commit to Him, His nail-pierced hands, their eternal salvation. And He doesn't lie. You know, I got a toothache all of a sudden on Friday. And I was having all these fears hit me about this tooth because of where it was. I can't even go into that. But I was like, wouldn't you know it? We just had the 4th of July picnic and this toothache hits me on Friday right on the weekend. You ever have everything go wrong right on the weekend? And Saturday's my biggest day and Sunday's my biggest day. And I said, man, I got hit with this toothache. And I said, Lord, I can't really get help from the dentist right now. I can't deal with this. My wife said, go to your son. I said, no, I'm not going to bother him. And I'm like, man, my son's a dentist. But I said, Lord, I'm just going to go ahead and suck it up. I'm just going to go ahead and suck it up. And I went there with a toothache to the meeting on Saturday morning where I addressed the men's Revival Seekers prayer meeting right at 9 a.m. I began to address them and give them the word that God gave me to give them. And then we prayed. And I know it's there right now, but it started to subside when I started preaching to the men. And as I prayed, it kept subsiding. And then we went out on bus ministry. I was helping Matt with a bus ministry. It was about 100 in the shade, you know, with high humidity on Saturday. And I said to Brother Matt, I said, and he's doing this himself, but I said, yeah, let's do this. Let's knock on doors in Dunmore. We have one person to pick up in Dunmore, but let's knock on doors. And we just started knocking on doors and talking to people. And guess what? That toothache just kept subsiding. And one person prayed to receive Christ as their Savior. Then another person prayed to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. And I'm just saying to you, we just decided to do what God said, and God blessed. You know, the Israelites were told, you got to go into the promised land. But when they came to the Jordan River, it was at flood stage. And God said to the leaders of the people with the Ark of the Covenant, just go out and step out in faith and step into that flood tide. Step into those Jordan River waters. And I know I stepped into the Jordan River when I went to Israel and I baptized my cell phone and destroyed it. But this was much bigger than that. It was a huge... And guess what? The Jordan River stopped and dried up and they were able to walk across. You say, what happened to your toothache? Is it going to come back Monday morning? It may. I don't know. But I'll tell you this. God blesses work. God blesses when you just step out in faith to do His work. And you determine, I'm going to be done with my greasy fat. And I am going to just embrace the work that God has given me to do. Now, I would say my natural gift is to be introverted and a little bit shy. How many can relate to that? A little bit shy, introverted. But for the sake of the Lord and his work, I can say I'm a shy man come out of himself. And I have to keep doing that every day to keep being a shy man come out of himself. Why? Because I want to do this great work, Bobby, of doing what you've done in your property, and that's planting fruit trees. And those fruit trees are people that get saved by Jesus, and then they get rooted into the Word of God here, and then they bear fruit to win other people to Jesus Christ. And I want to do that, and guess what? I have done that and done the work of that over the years, and guess what? I'm able to eat the fruit of it now. I have a church with a lot of fruit trees, Bob, just like you got them on your property. They're soul-winning people. And whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof.
It's good.
And God blesses that. I'm talking about get rid of, be done with your greasy fat and replace it with meaningful work of faith. You know, I think of Jack Hiles, and he had the greatest soul-winning fruit of his time. And yet he himself said he was introverted and shy. He was a skinny little guy, kind of like Brother Eric was when he was a young man. And he was a skinny guy, a wind could blow him away, Jack Hiles. You know, they call him Jackie Boy Hiles. And he was shy, and he was so shy that when he had speech class in high school down in Texas, he told his best friend, Richard Newton, I have to give a speech today, and I'm too shy to stand up in front of the class and give that speech. And Richard said, well, what are you going to do? He said, I'm going to fake like I fainted. He said, and when I faint, I want you to take my arms, Richard, get another guy to take my legs, and carry me out of class. And that's exactly what he did. He fainted. Richard grabbed him under the arms. And another guy grabbed him on the legs, and they're carrying him out. And the teacher, Mrs. Heidi, is like, oh, she felt so bad for him. And it looked like a success, but Richard tickled Jackie Boy Hiles. And when she tickled him on the way out of class, he goes, ha, 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 ha. And everything went downhill from there. Next thing, he was in front of the principal. Next thing you know, he got an F for the class. All because his little plan didn't work. What am I saying? He was introverted. Jackie Boy Hiles, when he got saved, he was in a church with a deacon who was the head deacon, like Brother Joe here. His name was Jesse Cobb. Brother Joe, you ever heard of that guy? Jesse Cobb. And Jesse Cobb came up to the young teenage Jack Hiles, and he said, Jack, he said, I want you to go out soul winning with me. I remember we had a guy in the church named Ralph Talley. And Ralph Talley used to call soul winning soulin'. He thought I was saying soulin', but I was meaning soul winning. That is leading people to faith in Christ. And Jesse Cobb said, I want you to go. Jack said, oh no, I'm shy. I can't do that. He said, what do you mean? He said, I can't speak to people. And he said, well, look, he said, you go with me and I'll do all the talking. You don't have to say a thing. So he said, okay, I'll do that. So they went out door knocking, and they knocked on the first door, and a young high school football player named Kenneth Florence came to the door. And Jesse Cobb said to Kenneth, my name is Jesse Cobb, and I'm a deacon at the Baptist church right here in town. And at that point, Jackie Boy Hiles stepped back, and he said, man, I'm going to see a master soul winner at work and watch him do it. And Jesse Cobb said, now this, my name is Jesse Cobb, but this is Jack Hiles. And he has a few words to say to you. And Jack Hiles didn't know what to do. And he stepped forward, kind of trembling, and he said to Kenneth Florence, he said, would you like to come to church tonight? And to Jack's surprise, Kenneth said, yes, I would. Well, they got him and brought him to church that night. And while the preacher preached, he gave an invitation for people to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. And Jack Hiles was sitting with Kenneth Florence, and he just spent the time telling Kenneth how to get saved, and Kenneth prayed to receive the Lord right there with Jack Hiles, and then Jack took him down the aisle. He got baptized. Well, Jack Hiles was so thrilled with that, the next couple of days he led 30 to 40 people to faith in Jesus Christ himself. You say, what's your point? Well, he went on to become a great soul winning preacher, and my point is that soul winning is not a natural gift or even necessarily a spiritual gift for the saints. It's rather a commitment to do hard work. And Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light, because he helps you with that hard work when you enter into it with him. But it is hard work. And if this church, Scranton Revival Baptist Church, has any success, and we have had success, it's not because of a preacher that stands up here and beats on the pulpit, although I do that. Not so much today, but I do it. In fact, I told my Sunday school class, I used to beat on the pulpit downstairs, and I would break every pulpit that they gave me. And then Greg Sobotnik said, I'll build you a pulpit. I said, thank you, Greg. And he's an expert with wood, Brother Joe, right? And you know the pulpit he built me. There is not one time I've been able to hurt that pulpit. It has helped break my hand, hurt me. But I've never hurt that pulpit. If you don't believe me, go down there in my Sunday school class and just hit that pulpit and see what Greg did. So if we've had any success, it's not because of a preacher that has oratory and beats on a pulpit. It's because some of us have committed to exchange our greasy fat for some real work, to use some elbow grease, come rain or shine, come hot or cold, to go out there and to tell people the good news and invite them to put their faith in Jesus Christ. You know, there was a famous black lady of bygone era days. Her name was Amanda Smith. You wouldn't know her today, but at one time her name was famous. And Amanda Smith found out that she was losing hearing in one of her ears. And, you know, she got to shaking that ear, and it seemed to be getting worse and worse. And she got concerned about it. And she was a great Christian lady. And so she went to the preacher, and she said, preacher, I want my ear anointed with oil, and pray for my ear. And he said, yes, I'll do it. He anointed her ear with oil. He prayed for it. And guess what happened to the hearing? It got worse. So she went to another meeting, and there she asked to be anointed with oil and for more Christians to pray for her. And they prayed for her, and it got worse. So she saw an evangelist, a mighty preacher, and she said, I'll get this guy to pray for my ear. And she went to the evangelist and said, pray for my ear. And he prayed, and it got worse. So finally, Miss Amanda, at her wit's end, went to the doctor. And she said, I tried the Lord, but she said, he wouldn't heal me. So I'm going to you. The doctor took out a little tool with a light on it and looked in her ear. And after he looked in her ear, he went, She's like. And then he took a tool and he dug in her ear and pulled out a whopping ball of wax. And boop, she could hear just like that. Can I say something this morning when it comes to the Word of God? God will not wash your ears out for you. You won't accomplish anything by greasy fat clogged up around your heart, but rather by diligence to step out and do what God said. It's like when God, Jesus, being God in the flesh, raised Lazarus right out of being dead for 4 days. He said to the men that were with him, he said, you go and push that stone away from the grave. And they had to do the work to push that stone away from the grave. And not until they did that work did Jesus do the miracle to raise Lazarus from the dead, and he came out of the grave alive. I'm saying we have to step out in faith. I stepped out in faith Saturday, and God subsided my tooth pain. Amen. And it was getting so subsided, I went out with Matt to Dunmore. I said, we'll start in Dunmore. And I said, I remember something. I remember Jesse Kresge telling me in the prayer meeting. He always gets there a little late. But he told me in the prayer meeting, he said, Pastor, he said, there's a place in Dunmore. It's the old, what restaurant is that? Is Jesse here or downstairs? He's probably downstairs. Oh, what restaurant was that used to be? What was it? Say it again. Friendlies. And I knew where that was. As soon as he said Friendlies by the YMCA, I said, oh, that's good. And he said, there's a restaurant now there run by Koreans. It's called the Yummy Bowl. The Yummy Bowl. And I said, what, did you and your wife go there? Oh, yeah. So we were going out. I said to Matt, I said, we got to get some strength. We're going to be going out. And we were going to go out for like 6 hours in the heat, you know, going at it. I said, we need to go to the Yummy Bowl. As Jesse told me about the Yummy Bowl. So we went over there to the old Franklin's, and we got in there, and they sat us down, and they showed us how to write your table down and write what you want and what kind of rice you want and all that. We did all that. And then you bring it up on a tray, and they put all these different kind of meats on and vegetables and whatever you order. I had salmon. And then you choose your sauce. You can get yum-yum sauce or like 24 other sauces, and you put it in a little thing. And then you give them the whole thing, and they cook it for you. You can get one bowl, or if you get all you can eat, they'll just keep bringing bowls. But we did that. And you know what? Even after I ate that, my tooth did not bother me. That's amazing. And we went out, and we were able, in the strength of that Yummy Bowl, to go all day. And I'm saying that when we went out, we got opposition to the work. I had one particular lady in a particular area where I had said something, and she misconstrued my words, and she would not be disabused of the notion of what she was saying I said, and I know I didn't say that. And she went and told everybody about it in the whole place so that nobody would come to church. It was like the devil was hitting us. And I said, my, oh my, oh my, we're getting hit. And then we came to the end, to the final visit. I think that was the final visit. Brother Matt, the final visit. And Matt knocked on a door. And when he knocked on the door, the lady said, yes, my child can go. And then not only that, she called Matt back to say, she wanted to come with them and with the child and the child to get baptized. Amazing. The last one. And then after all that, in the morning, we got hit. And the bus driver said to me, I can't drive anymore for legal reasons. After all we'd done. But you know what? You know what? I'm going to step out in faith and keep walking with God. God will get his work done. He'll get it done with you or without you. But I don't want anybody to take my crown. Amen? I don't want to be a greasy, fat Christian. I don't want to be a greasy, fat person. I want to be somebody that diligently steps out to do God's will and do what God wants me to do. And I challenge you this morning to do the same thing. Brother Bob Bajeski knows what I'm talking about here. There was a guy named Art Williams. And Art Williams was a great football coach, and he became a head of a great business. He was a born-again man, and he saw a lot of people that succeeded in his business and his football, but he saw a lot of people that were failures. And Art Williams said there are three keys to success. And Art Williams, when people would say, Art, I'm doing this, and I'm doing that, and I'm doing this, and he would just say, don't just talk about it, just do it. Just do it. Just do it. Just do it. You can do it. if you'll just do it. But he said there are three keys to success. Number one, you need to show up. Do you know that's, in my understanding, about 90% of it? Show up. Number two, here's my message. You need to work hard. Work hard. Work hard. Most people don't do that. Many preachers need to quit and get an honest living because they're not working hard. And then he said, live right. Live right. Live right. I told Brother Matt yesterday when we were going out, I said, Brother Matt, I remember this church, we went through the hard times. I said, we had people leave the church back in the 1980s, and the devil was hitting us, and we were getting hit. And I remember a tour group came at that time from the Great First Baptist Church in Hammond, and the leader of that tour group was a science teacher at Hiles Anderson College named Pete Cowling. Pete Cowling. You know Pete Cowling, Brother Bob? Pete Cowling. And he was here, and I remember he came to the church. He saw how low we were. He saw how weak we were. He saw how this church got hit. But he came here with a group, and they were such a positive blessing. And then he came another year, and he came another year, and he came another year. And one year after coming, he wrote me a proverb. And you know what proverb he left me? A faithful man will abound in blessing. And you know what he said? You were down, but you didn't stay down. You got back up. And God is blessing you. And didn't I say, Brother Matt, that that is so true of a bus captain, of a Sunday school teacher, of a Christian worker, of a soul winner, that a faithful man or woman will certainly abound in blessing. And I think of Jack Hiles. You know, when he got in the ministry, he didn't think that he had a lot of gifts. And he saw great heroes of the faith, and he said there was a man by the name of Lee Robertson. How many have heard of Lee Robertson? It was a great leader in Chattanooga, Tennessee. It built a great church and college. And he said of Lee Robertson, man, that guy has personality. That guy is a suave guy. That guy's a good-looking guy. But I don't have that kind of suaveness. I don't have those kind of looks. And I wonder whether I could be a success. And then he knew another guy that was a hero of his. He was named John R. Rice. How many have heard of John R. Rice? Great man. And John R. Rice was a great intellect. He was a great writer. And he said, this man, John R. Rice, he is an intellect. He's a teacher. He's a writer. I don't think I have quite that kind of an intellect. And then he heard of a great Southern preacher who was a Baptist by the name of R.G. Lee. And R.G. Lee preached a famous sermon called Payday Someday. How many have heard of R.G. Lee? Great preacher, great orator. He said, I don't think I can speak like R.G. Lee. But he found out the secret is not in how great a personality you have and how suave you are and good looking. The key is not how smart you are. The key is not what a great speaker or orator you are. You know what he found out the key is? The Apostle Paul put it this way. Paul said, when it came to all the other apostles, I labored more abundantly than they all. You know what labor means? Just to work a little harder than other people do. Just work a little harder at what you're doing than other people are willing to do. Just work a little harder. The success, the key, is hard work, not greasy fat. Like so many Americans, they're so fat. You know, Howard Hendricks put it this way. The great teacher at the Dallas Seminary years ago, the great Howard Hendricks, in his book, I believe it was Say It With Love. And Howard Hendricks said, you know, I go to an American football game and I see 60,000 people in the stands who have far too little exercise. And then I see 22 players on the field who have far too much exercise. And that's true of churches. That's true of American Christians. Some of you may be looking for a way out. How do I get out of this ministry? How can I get out and not make it not look bad on me? Maybe you're doing that. But listen to me. Jesus knows. He knows who works. He knows if you're serious about his work and putting him first. And then some other people, they work, but they work at the wrong thing. They don't have the right priority. I know what the priority of the church is. It's the Great Commission. And I'm going to work at that and stay with that. Now, let me just say in closing, I believe this also, this principle that I'm talking to you about applies to salvation. Now, let me say this to you. Many people don't get saved because they're waiting for a feeling to come over them to be able to say, I'm saved. And until they get that feeling, they won't be saved. I think of Naaman who said, oh, I thought that the man of God would come out of his house and he would do some special thing to me and then I would be healed of my leprosy. But he didn't do that. He said, just you go and dip in the Jordan River by faith and you'll be cleansed. And he wouldn't do it. He was trying to set the terms of salvation. Salvation is simple. It's by God's grace through simple faith. But you must step out in faith and put it in Jesus' hands to save you and not wait for feelings in order to say you're saved. I believe that's what it means in Hebrews 4:11. It says, let us labor to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. It just means step out in faith to put it in the Lord's hands. Now, there was an evangelist, his name was Sam Jones, and he used to say that your feelings are like perspiration. And he said, you know, you're offered free firewood. And somebody says, here's your free firewood, here's an axe, now chop it down and it's yours. But you're offered the free firewood, and he says, chop it down and it's yours, and a guy gets an axe, and he goes out and stands there and he said, now when I start sweating, I'm going to chop the firewood down. Now remember, perspiration represents your feelings in salvation. And he's saying, when I start sweating, I'll chop the firewood down. Well, on a day like this, it'd be easy. I think if somebody offers Brother Matt firewood, you're just not going to do it no matter what. He doesn't like firewood. But anyway, wait for your perspiration. How long are you going to wait? Forever. Unless it's a day like this. But if it's in the fall, you're going to wait forever. You don't wait for the perspiration. You take the axe out and you start chopping the firewood. And what happens? You start sweating. You see, it applies to salvation. Some of you could die and go to hell and burn forever and sit there and wait for God to give you a tingling feeling before you decide simply to put your eternal salvation in the hands of Jesus Christ, the hands that were pierced for the sins of the world, so that he invites anybody in this world to put it in his hands. And he says, you're saved when you do that. When you do that. And yet people are waiting for some tingling feeling to act on God's promise to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. You know, the thing to do is to decide right in your seat that you're putting your salvation into the hands of Jesus. Your eternal soul into his hands. And trust him to get you to heaven. Let me close with an illustration. There was a lady years ago that was attending the First Baptist Church there in Hammond, Indiana. And this lady was a Roman Catholic lady. She had a mink coat. She had a big hat she wore to church. She had a couple of daughters, I think, that went there to the church and got saved, you know, little girls. But she liked to go there because she liked the way the preacher beat the pulpit and the way he preached, not like the Catholic Church. And she said, you know, that preacher, I think it's cute the way that he beats that pulpit and the way he preaches. Now, she didn't say he was cute. She said the way he preaches is cute. But the preacher that told me this, he said, I still think I'm cute too. But anyway, but you know, the way he hits that pulpit is cute. And so this lady went there for quite a while to the church, and he saw her there, and she would be there. Her name was Mrs. Lewis. She was probably 55 to 60 years of age. And she would sit right back there, let's say where Brother Joe is in the back. And one day, I think it was a Sunday night, the preacher was preaching, and he was getting ready to give the invitation that if anybody wanted to be saved, to trust Christ, and then to come forward to acknowledge that they had trusted Christ as their Savior. And this lady was just sitting back there. And the preacher went back there, and he said he's never done this before. But he went back there to the lady, and he said, you know, Mrs. Lewis, would you like to get saved? And she said, I don't feel it. He said, well, it's not important to feel it. Do you want to get saved from hell? You can be saved. It's not your feelings that you need to wait for. You need to decide you want to be saved. The offer's made. The Lord has provided for it. Would you like to get saved? She said, but that's silly. I don't feel anything as far as being saved. And he said he's never done this, but he said to her, would you just go to the altar and pray with me? Pray with me. And she said, well, I think that's silly. I don't feel it. Why should I go? And he said, you don't have to feel it. He was getting a little angry. You don't have to feel it. You come and trust Christ. And you come to the altar with me. Would you do that? And finally, she did. She went to the altar, and he began to pray for Mrs. Lewis. And he prayed, Lord, bless Mrs. Lewis. She needs to trust you by faith to save her, to trust your word. And the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he, Jesus Christ, is able to keep that which I've committed to him. Against or until that day when Christ comes back. So the Bible says if you commit your salvation to Jesus Christ, he will keep it. He will not fail you. When he comes back, you'll meet him in the air. He will not let you go to hell. And he prayed that prayer for her to believe the promise of God and to take it for herself. And she said, but I don't feel anything. He said, listen, pray to receive Christ. Regardless, because you need to be saved from hell. And finally, she said, okay, I will. And she said, dear Lord, I'm a sinner. I deserve to go to hell. I'm putting my trust in you to save me. And when she did that, she said, you know what? I feel better. And she had feelings in her heart that God gave her because she stepped out in faith and trusted the Lord. We have people here too lazy to take that step of faith. And not courageous to take that step of faith. And the Bible says the cowardly will be in hell. And the unbelieving. Belief is a decision that you make to trust Christ alone. And then you come forward to make that public and to say, I confess him that I put my faith and my trust in Jesus Christ. It applies to salvation. It applies to the work of God and to success. May God bless you today to get rid of your greasy fat, be done with it, and exchange it for diligent stepping out in faith to do what God wants you to do. Let's bow for prayer, every head bowed, every eye closed. I know it's hot today.